So now I am placing charges against the ministers who have been named. That's going to include, I keep saying there were two ministers who agreed with me. Well, one of them has passed on, so I'm not going to name him, but the other one is James Bell. And I'm charging James Bell that he had the responsibility after he privately communicated with me
that Brother James had an obligation, as found in Acts 20 and 27, to declare the whole counsel of God as he saw it, and not to shun to do so. And I believe Brother James has shunned to do just that.
That he should have joined me publicly and made that known publicly.
1 Corinthians 9 and 16 says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Brother James should have preached the gospel at any cost. If it cost him his head, like John the Baptist, or if he had to be burned at the stake for it, like John Huss, or sent to prison, like John Bunyan. If it cost him his ministry, he should have done it. If it cost him his congregation, he should have preached it loud and clear for everybody to hear.
And I believe he should do so now and make up for lost time and declare the full truth of the gospel on this matter as he sees it.
Daryl Johnson told me verbally that he disagreed with my statement, asked him, gave him nearly a year now to respond, hasn't done so. Others are named in here. Ed Wilson at the beginning of the list. Michael Smith for walking craftily, using his platform
in a deceptive manner.
And here are the charges.
The first is violation of 2 Corinthians 8 and 21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. All of the ministers who have made promises to get back with people and give their opinion about these scriptures and who have not done so within a reasonable amount of time are charged with a violation of 2 Corinthians 8 and 21. I don't know of where there exists anywhere one single statement from one single minister about one single statement from D.S. Warner or one single boundary. 7 years, 36 ministers that can't be found where one of them, just one, has made a statement about one of the boundaries or one of the statements from Brother D.S. Warner, except the one I got from Brother Daryl himself when I asked him, "Do you agree that there is a line that is crossed where trust in God, so-called, can actually be tempting God?" And he said, "I disagree with that statement." But then he said he needed time to think that over. Can anyone out there find where one minister at any time has ever weighed in on one of the statements from D.S. Warner or one of the boundaries, one way or the other? Well, it has been swept away by Brother Dan Doolittle and etc. But I mean to analyze it and say, here's what's wrong with it. Here's why I disagree with that. Or to say that I do agree with it, except Brother James Bell. But I'm talking about something publicly, something in writing, something from a pulpit sermon. It doesn't exist. And that is sin, folks. You got people that are dying because you will not open your mouth one way or the other. You are withholding from them life itself. You're withholding from them the comfort and hope of the scriptures. An old saint said to me in analyzing this, they just can't discern good from evil. That's what's wrong with this ministry and these ministers. And this was someone among us. This is pathetic beyond all patheticalness. This is an abomination. And Christ says, ministers in your position will be cast into outer darkness for less offenses than these, which is why the second charge is a violation of the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. This is pure idolatry. The pastor who went out passing this material out among all whoever would hear it, Church of God groups of this or that group, he said when you run into the evening light, the real evening light, the Guthrie evening light, he calls it the Michael Smith group. He's the one who said, "What does Michael Smith say about this?" When you run into them, it's hopeless. He went out thinking there's a brother over there. He said, "I know this brother. I knew him before he met Michael Smith at all. I think I can reach him." Finally, he told me, he said, he's not interested. And that's the same brother I had contact with. I give an example in one of these tracks of trying to reason with him. He shut me down almost identically to the word, the same as Dan Doolittle did. This movement idol is going to land people in eternal hell because it gives them such insulation against the word of God, such superiority
to the Word of God, such a lack of fear of the Word of God. And I have lived my life, my wife and I have, more than 40 years. I gave up my entire career with IBM and went and drove a truck. Why? Because I wanted to conform to the teachings of the saints, and that included not wearing a necktie. When I took off the necktie, there went my computer career. And that was just the beginning of the entire catalog. But the scripture says, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, the mother of us all. And that's the relationship that we have with the saints when we have confidence in them. It even goes beyond blood relations. But the shock of finding out that this ministry is corrupt and won't bat an eye when you try to appeal to them, it's like finding out your mom is in the mafia. The shock is beyond anything that can be. Are you serious? All these years, 40 years, you never did intend to obey the Bible at all? You don't care? You're going to scoff at it? All you ever cared about was what the evening light taught? And the first thing the evening light ever taught, the only reason the evening light was ever formed, was to be made up of people who would never do what you all. But the light of the gospel is right here for you. But you are going to have to face that wall of terror and dread that does not come from God, and it certainly does not come from the scripture. The scripture brings comfort and hope. This fear and this terror of this evening light group is a mirage. Where you see it, you ought to hit it with everything you've got. Rebuke it, cast it down. It's an idol. The fear you feel down in your spirit that we might be wrong. You should be glad if we're wrong, if we have something we can correct. That should bring joy and gladness to walk in the light. But the fear that you feel that we might be wrong, the terror that you, that's an idol. Cast it down. Go get someone. Might have to go to another group. Get somebody to lay hands on you that's not bound by this thing. Did the idol just speak to you and fill you with terror because that is spiritual adultery? That's the idol. So I can refer you to somebody. How about Brother Clarence Campbell up at Vichy? He's not bound by this. He's had to pay a price for taking a stand on it. And don't worry, you won't get contaminated with any bad spirits because he doesn't have any. For years and for decades, he has allowed our ministers to come preach in his pulpit, even though he has never, ever, ever been able to preach one single time in any of ours and never would be. And his congregation members come down and they can't sing in our pulpits and sing specials either. He's got a good spirit, folks. How about you head up the road to Vichy? It's just right up there by Rolla. He'll lay hands on you. He'll help you out. Sister Margie Salee said, yeah, we've held this like this. Can't hold it like this anymore. This is criminal if we do this. And she said, and besides, our old standby, who healeth all thy diseases, that we use to tell people that's the end of subject. She said, well, what does that scripture actually say? It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities and who healeth all thy diseases. She said, well, it's a benefit. It's not a doctrine with rules and whatnot. It's a benefit.
And Sister Margie goes on to say, what does fully trusting the Lord actually mean? Fully trusting the Lord means trusting the Lord to do it any way he wants to, not me telling God how he has to do it, supernaturally or not at all.
So people are seeing the light. They're taking a stand. They're doing it when it costs them something, in terms of fellowship sometimes. If there is any way for the light of the gospel to reach through to the darkened minds of the evening light ministry, if they could see for one moment, if the terror that Sister Angela experiences, if that terror could ever be lifted by seeing through to the light of the gospel, she would throw that off. She would run in horror. All the ministers are standing at the brink, while sleeping careless on the brink of an eternal woe. That's where we are, ministers. You're sleeping comfortable while your lamp is running dry. And this is the condemnation, that when light came, they ran from it. They weren't interested in it. Not one is interested. Brother James is interested. And that's why I'm hoping. He's my good friend. I hate to bring this charge against him, but I'm hoping that by doing so, he will get in that pulpit and open up his Bible and start preaching what he knows. Break down every idol, cast down every foe, and wash me, and I will be whiter than snow.
The third charge is violation of John 5:39, which says, Search the Scriptures, the words of Christ, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and also which testify of the truth of the gospel of the Apostle Paul, and of the teachings of D.S. Warner on this subject. And in conjunction with a failure to search the Scripture is a charge of violation of 2 Peter 3:5, for being willingly and purposefully ignorant by telling those that you have not read it or listened to it and don't intend to do so, and then failing to respond when I try to reach out to you to find out if that's even true that you said that. The next charge is violation of 1 Peter 3:8, which says, Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. There has been such cold-heartedness and lack of courtesy in failing to let me know whether you did or did not receive this information after I was just on the phone with you asking for your contact information,
or texting you and asking for your contact information.
This is widespread and almost unanimous across the ministry for me to have been treated this way repeatedly when I, in good faith, am coming to you asking for your help with the Scriptures. The next charge is a violation of Ezekiel 33, which charges the ministry with a duty to inform. And a duty to inform means to inform without being asked. But these ministers have gone so far as to fail to inform when they have been asked and when they have promised to do so. I'm charging Michael Smith with violation of 2 Corinthians 4:2, which says, We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Michael Smith has what is the closest thing to the church paper, the replacement for the Faith and Victory paper, and as such, his 2018 post with the title Divine Healing pretends to answer for all those looking to that particular website. It pretends to address this question, which came out in 2016, but it does so in a crafty and a deceitful way. And when I brought out that the actual sentence structure has been reversed to give it a meaning that will send people to their deaths, and that the wording now means the opposite of what that scripture would have conveyed, Brother Michael responded that he had received the very first petition to the ministers back in 2016, so I know that's a good email. I have sent 3 more communications after that 2016 communication with no response from Brother Michael, including on July 4th, 2023, which was 12 days ago as of this recording. Finally, I'm charging the ministry in general and these ministers in particular that have been named in this tract with sinning against the weak consciences of the brethren, and that is with violation of 1 Corinthians 8:12, which says, But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ by causing people, through your teaching, through the representation, through what they believe that you believe, through what they believe you stand for, even though some of you do not stand for that anymore, and people don't know that, because you won't tell them, even when asked, and even when making promises to give your opinion, and if you do tell someone privately, you do it under condition that they promise not to tell anyone. And they're facing an ordeal, an example of which is following. And some of you are privately communicating that you have doubts, and you don't know how to just go in there and tell them, we've got this all wrong. This is sin, because you're making that person put their soul on the line. They're quoting in their extremity. If you go to the last Friday meeting, July 22nd, 2022, Monarch Springs National Camp Meeting for the Evening Light Faith and Victory Group, and this YouTube link is posted here, go to the last 2 minutes and hear the son of a brother who's only 55 or 56 years old recounting how that his father was in such dire extremity that he had to lean against a dresser while they held his knees from buckling so he could get his breath and doze just a bit. And the young man is saying that he hears his father muttering something. So he gets close and he hears his father recounting
the story of the three Hebrew children being given a second chance to bow down. And that was because there was medical aid offered that might have been able to help him out and give him another chance to live. While at the same time, unbeknownst to him, some of you closest are transmitting that I don't just see how we can go in there and tell him we've got this all wrong. This is sin for you to do that. And it is hypocrisy.
This is sin for you not to declare the whole counsel of God. If you have doubts, you ought to say so. If you're looking into it, you ought to say so. You owe it to these people's souls to say what you know. Brother Marty, you told me privately, I don't know what I believe. That's what you should be saying. What would be wrong with telling the brethren, I'm not sure, I'm looking into this. How refreshing would that actually be? And I mean publicly, from the pulpit.
Here's from Brother Curtis Williams over in Sepulpa.
7 years ago, July 28th, 7:22 p.m., I've got some Bible studying I'm doing before I get back with you, 2016.
Some people are violating their consciences when they seek medical aid to the extent that they have confidence in you.
Some are laying down their lives and dying when all they need is some insulin or a heart bypass. They don't know that you don't believe that. They don't know that you're telling other people that you would never tell anyone that anything is wrong with insulin.
So if I know it, and I know you will let them die, lose their life and their soul, rather than let them know what you really believe. In other words, here's what it comes down to. You all will let a person die unnecessarily and possibly to lose their soul if the alternative is to contradict the movement tradition.
You won't contradict the movement tradition
or even review it, and even if you promise to do so, to save a person's life or their soul. And you're altogether corrupt and untrustworthy as a ministry because of your sin against the brethren and against Christ. And I'm charging you now that you should not profane the pulpit where honest men and women have stood in this national camp meeting until you get yourself clear and do it publicly. There's a list that you and everyone else can see, and there ought to be ministers who are not on that list who can handle the preaching while you all get some help from God to be delivered from this movement idol. I've said it again, like I've said before, you are pure, holy brethren, except for this one thing, and this idol has got you. You're being fooled by it. Cast it down. And don't let this good and precious truths that have been brought down to us, as Brother Ed always says, at such cost, don't let it end with us.